For the rest of us, part three today of Strengthening Faith, we will begin by reading our foundational scripture in Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 13. Then we will do a quick review of what we've looked at so far and then continue from where we left off. Last week. Yeah. Looks like this is going to end up being a four-part mini-series. We're not going to get finished today either. Strengthening Faith, Part 3, beginning to read in Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you again for your word. And we just pray in Jesus' name that you watch over your word to perform it in us and in our midst today, Lord God. I pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words that you ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, very quick review. And we talked about the fact that faith is the most important component in our walk with Christ. We talked about the fact that a true, vibrant, trusting faith in God pleases Him. We talked about the fact that faith is the evidence of a true Christian. And we moved on to our first major point, which is the fact that we must hear from God. And then we looked at the fact that hearing the voice of God is the root of faith, and how important it is that we hear God speak, and that is possible, more than possible, because Jesus said, His sheep know His voice. So we should expect to hear God speak through whatever mode that He speaks to us. He speaks different ways. I talked about that last week. Then we moved on to the fact that faith does not come from guessing at the will of God. People have a tendency to guess at what God's will is and move in that way and then ask God to bless something that had no root in Him from the beginning. And that happens way too often in people's lives. So as believers in Christ, we have no reason to guess at His will. We have been given the ability to know in given situations what His will is. And so that very thing, that very idea is rooted in faith. Now that was a really quick review of two weekends of messages. I know, but that's the main points that we looked at. We want to move on now to another point under the fact that we must hear God speak, and it's this fact. God has given us three ways in which He speaks to us. Three ways, all right? The first, we have the written Word of God. In the Greek, it's the Logos. Logos, the written Word of God. And the written Word of God is of utmost importance, because the written Word of God is the standard that we measure everything else that we think we've heard from God
through. God will never violate His word. He will never speak anything that violates His own word. So it's very, very important that we have the foundation of the Word of God, the Logos, in our life. We're called to study the Word of God to show ourselves approved. What Jesus was talking about, apparently, is that in showing ourselves approved, that we would have discernment through the Word of God, living in the Word and having discernment, being able to discern. Well, I think I heard this from God, but let me think about this. Does this violate the Word of God in any way? Because if it does, it came from another source, either self or the enemy. Okay? The second way that we hear from God, the way He speaks to us, we have the spoken Word of God, the Rhema. The Rhema. The spoken Word. I'm speaking the Word right now. When the preacher is up there, he's preaching the Word, I hope. If they're preaching out of a different book, get out of that church. Yeah. Right? There are, there's problems in the body of Christ nowadays. People have wandered further and further from the foundation of the Word of God, and that should be a red flag to anyone who is in Christ. God's Word is a foundation, and when a person is speaking the Rhema word, it's powerful. And then thirdly, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which gives us the mind of Christ. Now, don't get tweaked out by the fact that I made that statement. Let me take you to Scripture. I'm going to take you to Scripture and explain this further. But we do have the ability, through the whole indwelling of the Holy Spirit, our counselor and our guide, He's spoken of as both of them. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, when my Father sends the Holy Spirit to you, when I ascend on high, He will be your counselor. He will tell you all things. He will remind you of the things that I have told you. He will give us recall, is what He was talking about, right? He'll give us the recall of what Scripture has to say. All right, so Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. So He speaks to us through His Son, a whisper in our hearts, a whisper down in here. Sometimes God whispers down in here. I hear in that way. I very, very seldom in my walk with Christ when I've gotten revelation. It happens, but it's very seldom that I hear an audible voice in here. It has happened. And usually when it has happened, He's correcting me. I'm just being honest. Usually when I get an audible voice from the Lord that I hear here, He's correcting me. And it's bold. One time when that happened, I was driving past someone along the highway, and it was below zero out. And the guy was walking with his bike, and it was up just below Dubuque. It was on Highway 151, that if you follow that west, will take you all the way to Cedar Rapids. Okay, so I was going along there, and I saw this guy walking with a bike and all bundled up and looked cold, and I went on by, and the Lord whispered in my heart, He said, go back and pick him up. I didn't want to. I was in my truck, so I had a place to put his bike with the saddlebags. And he had one of them little carts behind him as well that people sometimes use for hauling dogs or babies around behind them when they're riding bike. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So he had one of them. Now I had my truck, so I didn't have an excuse in that way. I had a place to put all that. But I just didn't want to go back. Well, I kept going. Yeah, I'm rebellious too sometimes. I'm not all, you know, I'm not obviously always that way, but I've had my moments. This was years ago, by the way. Almost 20 years ago. And the further I went down the road, all of a sudden, the Lord spoke again, and this time it was in my ear. And he said, I'm the least of these. I turned the radio up. I did. Sometimes God leads me to tell on myself, I guess this is one of those times. I did not plan to tell you this morning. But the Lord's leading me to just be honest about it. This is a prime example of how God will correct me and does sometimes. Because I hear. Third time it came and it was like, unto the least of these. I pulled off the highway, gravel flying, looked for traffic, turned around, there was a semi that was behind me. He went by looking at me like I was crazy, man, because of the way I pulled off of the highway and let him go by and then did a U-turn and went back. Well, I went back, did a U-turn again, pulled up behind this guy, and he was looking at me like he was about half scared. Well, then I got out of my truck and he looked more scared. And I said, excuse me, where are you going? He said, Cedar Rapids for a job. I said, really? Yeah, I have a job waiting for me there. I said, you look to be homeless. I am. Okay? So, you need a ride to Cedar Rapids? Well, he's looking at me. He's looking at my truck. Well, it would be nice. I said, you look about half froze. Yeah. So anyway, long story short, he had this stuff all bound together on his bike with leather straps. And we had to untie all of that and get everything loaded in my truck. And I got him in the cab of my truck. And I started heading for Cedar Rapids. Not because I had to go to Cedar Rapids, but because the Lord obviously wanted me to take this guy to Cedar Rapids. So I'm driving down the road, and I turned the heat up to try to get this guy thawed out. When he started thawing out, the cab of that truck was starting to stink pretty bad. I'm just telling you the truth. It was not pretty. But anyway, he said, how come you stopped? I said, do you really want to know? Well, yeah. I told him the story. I didn't want to turn around and pick you up. I didn't want to. I want to now, because it's very clear God wanted to. And I started talking to him about the Lord. He said, well, yeah, I've heard about that. I'm thinking to myself, this is crazy. So anyway, I drive him all the way to Cedar Rapids. I say, okay, where am I going to drop you off? Where do you want me to drop you off? Well, he says, just pull over here in this parking lot and just let me out here. By the way, he reeked of liquor. It was one of the things he reeked of. I spent all that time driving out there witnessing to him, thinking to myself, okay, Lord, you can use this, great. I don't know. I did the best I could. Got him out of the truck, kind of said my goodbyes. By then it was so late in the day, I decided to just grab a room in Cedar Rapids that night. So I grabbed a room and called my wife and told her what happened. Was like, oh, okay. All right. I was going to the monastery. I was going to stay up at the monastery in the guest house and just have some alone time with God. He had other plans. So, anyway, I let this guy out, say my goodbyes, and I go get a room. And I'm thinking to myself, I'll probably never hear anything of that again. Just a short few weeks later, I was talking to somebody that knows somebody that lives in Cedar Rapids, a woman, and she was driving down the road and she saw this guy with this black bike and this black cart, and he was walking along, pushing the bike, and the Lord spoke to her to turn around and pick this guy up and witness to him. upon exploring this, it became abundantly clear it was the same guy. And God had another person, a woman this time, that pulled over, picked him up, witnessed to him, and hauled him somewhere. So, I haven't gotten any more of the story after that, but God's after this guy. God is after this guy. You might as well say the hounds of heaven are after him. But anyway, my point is this. For me, when I hear the Lord's voice here, it's most of the time because he's correcting me because I'm not being obedient. When I hear his voice in here, it's that quiet, gentle talking to me, leading me. He does it when I'm in the pulpit. He leads me when I'm in the pulpit. Sometimes a lot, where I walk away from my notes and we're done with that for today. Because I really do want to let God be God. But there's a part of me that sometimes I don't want to do at that moment what he's telling me. Be honest, are you that way sometimes? I'm not proud of that by any means. I am just being honest with you. I've had my moments. But God always gets me where he wants me. He straightens me out. Right here. I need to learn to obey when I hear it here. And I tell you that because it's probably the same way with you. Because if we don't learn to hear it here, we're going to hear it here. And then it's a lot bolder. So, the mind of Christ. The Spirit of God living in us. With Jesus speaking to us. We can have the mind of Christ in things. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Remember, Jesus was there in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Without him, nothing has been created that was created. First Corinthians 2, verses 13 through 16. I hope you benefited from that testimony. Seriously, I had no idea I was going to be sharing that today. I didn't really get up today and say, what can I do today to tell on myself? Most of us, if we're honest, we don't do that. But God, let him be God, right? 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 16. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. There it is. Expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things. But he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Can you argue with God's word? We have the mind of Christ. If we are born again believers, filled with the Holy Spirit, sealed with the Holy Spirit of the living God, then we have the capacity to possess the mind of Christ. Here's the key. Will we obey? Will we obey that leading of God? That still small voice here, so we don't have to hear the rebuke here. We can just learn to obey that still small voice in here when God instructs us. There are times that he gives us warnings and far too often we ignore them. Far too often we think to ourselves, oh, that just came from me. And we go on our way when God is trying to protect us. Sometimes he's trying to delay us because we're on a course of disaster. And he will try to delay us and we ignore it. We need to look to exercise our faith. When God speaks, we need to believe him. We need to take him at his word. Yes, as I already said, we need to be discerning. We have to filter everything that we think we hear from God through the word of God. Because if it violates the word of God, cast it down. Cast it out. You don't want that. But if it doesn't violate the word of God, and you're reasonably sure that you heard from God, act on it. Act on it. That is faith. Faith without action or faith without works is dead. Right? So we got to learn to act on what God speaks to us. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things. This is talking about discernment. Now I want to tell you something. I've been hearing this more in the last year than I ever have in 40 years. I've been walking with Christ since I got born again. I have had more people quote one verse out of the Bible to me in the last year than I have the other 39. I'm telling you the truth. And it's this verse. Judge not, lest you be judged. I'm serious, guys. I've had innumerable people say that to me. And my response is, I'm not your judge. I am a fruit inspector. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. And he also said that they'll know us by our love. But love does not mean that we do not discern, that we do not judge all things. We need to judge all things, whether it's from God or not from God. Am I making sense to you today? But today, people, I think the devil's been teaching them scripture. Just one verse. Judge not, lest you be judged. But we look in scripture and right here, we just looked at the fact that we have the mind of Christ. We're born-again believers in a walk with him. But we also see that the spiritual man makes judgments about all things. But it's interesting, it says, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. That's assuming that we are truly righteous people, that we are walking with God. Obviously, as a believer, if you go out and get stupid and in a fit of rage you murder somebody, you're going to come under man's judgment, and rightly so, because you need to pay your debt to society. Now, does that mean you can't repent and be forgiven? No, you can be forgiven of even that, guys, of murder in a fit of rage. But you will still pay your debt to society because you're going to be judged by our culture. Isn't that true? So there's always forgiveness in Christ. But when we fall in that way, then we do fall under man's judgment, that's for sure. But man's judgment cannot condemn our soul. You can be condemned to death for murder. This body. But man cannot condemn our soul. Only God can do that. Amen? Amen? That's the thing with judgment. All right? Boy, that clock just goes too fast. One of these days, I'm going to take the battery out. Right? Acts 16, verses 7 through 10. We're still dealing with the same points. It's just showing you scriptures. Acts 16, 7 through 10. This is an example of how God legitimately does lead us if we will learn to listen to the Spirit of God. In here, here. It says, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So we see in this situation here, the disciples are out and they're being led by the Spirit, and they're headed to Bithynia, and they're trying to enter Bithynia. That's what man's plan was. That's what their plan was. But God intervened. God intervened. The Lord intervened and said no. So He gives Paul a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. God still leads people in this way. There are actually people in this church, right, that are part of this church, that in years past, over the years, God has led me to them when I didn't even know for sure where they were at. I was running my shop, and the Lord spoke to me, said, put your wrenches down, clean your hands up, go get in your truck. I'll tell you where to go. And gave me a word. And the Lord said, pull out, turn here, turn here, turn here, turn here, turn here. Drive in there and give them this word. And I'm not pulling your leg. Several times, many times, that kind of thing has happened in my life. Those of you who are here, been here for a long time, you know about a lot of that. Because I've shared before. Countless times in the last 40 years since I've been walking with the Lord, I've had that happen where the Lord has just directed me right in here. And then give a word to somebody and they're like, how in the world did you know? How did you know where I was at? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit speaking to me. And He directed me right to them. I'm stone-faced serious. This happens today. It didn't just happen only in this time, 2,000 years ago, that we just read about. God directs us today, if we will learn to hear the voice of God and act. You know what our problem is? Most of the time, when we hear the voice of God, it's something we weren't thinking about. It's something that we, many times, don't want to do. It's inconvenient, maybe. Many times in my life, it's come at an inconvenient time. When He's told me to put the wrenches down, it's like, man, I got to get this job done. I got another appointment coming in. So I got three more people dropping cars off that I got to fix this afternoon. You know, whatever the situation, the Lord's like, now, put your wrenches down, wash your hands, and go do what I'm telling you. How much bigger would the kingdom of God be if we would all learn to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit and go out and reach people with divine words from God? How awesome would it be? How many more people would be swept into the kingdom because of the evidence of that? How many more would be drawn into the kingdom because of the evidence of God's Spirit working in another person's life. Listen, this world's getting crazy, and I'm starting to get more and more excited about Jesus breaking through the clouds. You know what I'm talking about? But you know what's going to speed that up? Getting more people saved. Because there are going to be an exact number of people that are going to be saved before that final trumpet blows. We don't know what that number is, but our Father in heaven does. And Jesus is all about getting all of them saved. So, if we're dragging our feet on the labors that God has given us, then it takes longer before he comes back. Because he's not going to come back till it's time, guys. And Jesus don't know the day or the hour, just like we don't. Only the Father knows. That is the only thing. I've searched Scripture from cover to cover many times over. And that is the absolute only thing that the Father has kept from the Son, is the day and the hour of when the Father's going to say, "Now go. Go catch up your flock." Proverbs 4, verse 18 says, "The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." Now this passage is powerful to be inserted here at this point, because I don't know about you, I think I do, but I for sure know about me. More and more I feel the darkness encroaching on us. More and more and more, and every month that goes by, every year that goes by, I more and more feel the darkness in this world. As things become more and more evil, my goodness, I just read this week, 2 days ago, about, we can all hubbub about AI, artificial intelligence, all right? Well, if you have any questions about whether we're in the final part of the last days, this ought to do it for you. They now have created an AI app that is entitled Texting with Jesus. And it's full of deception and heresy. Oh, there's Scripture in it. Make it look good. There's Scripture in it, but it's all taken out of context. And if you contact this app and ask if this is the Jesus of the Bible, it responds, "Yes, I am." If that does not shake you to the core of your foundation, something is wrong. Because I'm telling you, this is the stuff that Jesus said would happen in the last days. That is the spirit of Antichrist that would even create something like that. Now, don't leave here and say, "Pastor Wayne says that's the Antichrist." That is not what I said. That is the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist has been working in the world for a long time already. No, the Antichrist himself has not been revealed yet. My opinion, I think he's alive right now. I think it's very possible that he's alive right now and being prepared to be revealed. My opinion. Just my opinion. But I do. The path of the righteous is like the first gleaming of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. We're called to walk in the light as he is in the light. Our God is light. Phos. The Greek is phos. Our God is light. When we have him indwelling us, his light permeates us. Okay? We are earthen vessels. We're cracked pots. But see, the light of God shines through those cracks when we are cracked pots. So we're living in a world that is getting darker and darker. And not that I am so amazingly righteous, you know that, I just told it myself earlier in this message. But I am myself more and more and more feeling like what maybe Lot felt like. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because of the world that we're living in and how rapidly our world is just falling into sin and degradation, it's terrible. It's terrible. It makes me sick to my stomach. Every day I get up and I wonder, what am I going to find out today? A couple days ago, it was texting with Jesus, for Pete's sakes. You know, I mean, and I'm like this. What in the world? By the way, if you want to see that article is on the stream. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the stream, but you Google the stream, it will take you to a whole bunch of articles on there. That is a very, very good site, Christian, bona fide Christian site. And that article is in there. It's entitled Texting with Jesus. And the author of that article did research on it, and he has a bunch of it laid out in there to awaken you to it. I read the whole thing. It made my hair stand on end. Just riddled with deception. And I thank God for this gentleman that researched it and exposed it, because we need to be made aware of the deceptions that are coming up. You and I, as God's righteous, shine ever brighter, till the full light of day. The key is that you and I constantly examine ourselves to make sure that we are maintaining our relationship with Christ, that we are truly in Him. Amen? And walk by faith, not by sight. We're called to walk by faith, not by sight. We've been conditioned to believe since we were wee children that seeing is believing. But in reality, walking in faith is the opposite of that. Walking by faith, believing is seeing. I got to put there, we're out of time. Let's stand together. You will? And next week, Lord willing, we'll pick up where we left off. Father, I just stretch out my hands over your people, Lord God, merely as your representative. And I pray your blessing on them. I pray for wisdom and discernment to abound in our lives as we seek after you with all our hearts. I thank you for your word, which we've seen and heard today in this place. I thank you, Lord, for the worship that has taken place. And we just pray that it's been a sweet sound in your ear, Lord God, and that the sacrifice of praise is a sweet aroma in your nostrils. And we pray, Lord, as we leave this place today, that you will watch over us, protect us. Many of us have gatherings on Labor Day. We just pray that you protect us, that we just have a great long weekend, and that you bring us back safely next weekend to hear the next part of this message that you have birthed, Lord. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.